All right, let's start reading, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until now. All right. Let's go now back over to the book of Psalms, and chapter 102. Psalms chapter 102. He says here in, he says, verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, Zion symbolizing the church, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Praise God. All right. This set time that we talked about is a programmed time, and nothing can stop it. We use examples. One example was in the book of Jeremiah. We talked to Jeremiah 25 about the fact going into bondage, and Jeremiah told them they'll be in bondage for 70 years. Well, and this is because of Israel's rebellion and idolatry, so forth. And what happened was another prophet came along and said, no, you'll be in there for 2 years. And then Jeremiah went back and consulted the Lord again and said, tell the man you're going to be in there for 70 years, and for making that bad prophetic word, he's going to die. So he died that same year, false prophet, or a man who tried to prophesy against God's prophetic timetable. And so what we're saying here is that this is the year of God's favor. Favor having to do with God's grace upon you, his supernatural help to help you do things. All kinds of things come with the favor of God. It gives you prominence, gives you all kinds of increase, so forth and so on, the favor of God. And in this, we said we're discussing now the topic of vengeance and recompense. Part two. And we got into that through the door of seeing the invisible, or revelation. And what we said about revelation, I want to go back to that, is that without revelation, there is no restoration. Because we read in Joel that God said that he restored the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the pommel worm, that great army which was sent among us, and that his people shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord, and they shall never be ashamed. So he's restoring something. But we said restoration doesn't come without revelation. That we said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, that the more we depend on the world, the less light we receive from the kingdom. And it says specifically, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. So God's got it so that you cannot depend on the world and receive His best. It won't work. So what we have to do is learn now how to depend on God again, because all of us have come out of the world and doing things the world's way and depending on the world. And He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That's Jeremiah 17:7. And whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters and spreadeth out a roots by the river, and shall not even see when heat cometh. In other words, when bad times come, you won't even know it. By trusting in the Lord. And folks, trusting in the Lord is more than just words. I mean, you got to get out there on it. Most people are not really trusting in the Lord. They're seeing it. They're going to see if it's going to work for a while, you know. But get out there and trust in Him. And get something to believe God for, and so forth and so on. I was teaching in and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Lord, have mercy. I said, Lord, have mercy. Now, wait a minute. You just kind of read over that. But notice, he didn't say Herod was dead. He said Herod and all the others. Now, wait a minute. Now, they weren't down there, but for so long. You mean all these people died a natural death while they were down there? They couldn't have been down there long, because Jesus was 12 years old up there in the synagogue teaching the Jews. And he was 2 years old when he went down there. So they couldn't have been down there over 9 or 10 years. I guarantee you they were down there about 3 or 4 years and came back up there. And look at it, everybody that would not cooperate, they were either tormented or terminated. Why? Because it's a set time or something. And you may as well brace up and get strong. One more place, and we're done. Turn to Adabashata. I'm going to get this thing out. Turn to Acts chapter 5, please. Say amen to this. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, my pastor, in God, a God of love? Yep. Sure is. He loves justice. Come on, he loves justice. Now, understand, this didn't, now Jesus is leaving. Now, I'm not saying, well, God is a killer. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about God is a God of love. But in the meantime, he's got an assignment and a timetable for something to happen. He had to pull him out of Egypt. If he didn't pull him out of Egypt, I mean, if vengeance wasn't with Moses, he couldn't have got out of Egypt. It's got to be there. Now, just look at this last one. Maybe I shouldn't show this to you. Y'all got y'all have enough. I'm here to tell you, your days of fighting your own battles and trying to get even with somebody are over. The Holy Ghost is going to take care of everything. I won't go to it. This is when Ananias and Sapphira. Put it up there on the board, please. Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it also, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart, thine heart, to lie to the who? Holy Ghost. Not to me, to the Holy Ghost. And keep, this is the Holy Ghost ministry now. This is his ministry. And to keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own, in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied to men. Keep going. But to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, what did he do?
Fell down,
gave up the ghost, and great fear or respect came on them that heard these things. Keep going. And the young men arose. They came and prayed over him and raised him from the dead. No, that's not what it said. They wound him up, carried him out back, and buried him. Keep going. Keep going. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, down there getting the hair done down there at the beauty parlor or something. No, forgive me, Lord. And Peter answered them, her, tell me whether you've sold the land for so much. And they said, yes, for so much. Keep going. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Keep going. Then fell she down straightway at the feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband, and they went on with the service in Detroit. And I was teaching on Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. But it led me to teach on 1 John chapter 5. Put it up there on the board, please. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Now, you can turn to it if you want to, but here's what it said. He said, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us or hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now, there is no feeling in that. And this is a place that I'm bringing you to, or where God's bringing us to, because we had been trained to depend upon our senses. But the idea about it is our senses can be unreliable at times, or in this earth realm where Satan is loose and is called a deceiver. Sense knowledge can only take you so far. For Adam to govern this earth, he had to have revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge comes directly from God into your spirit. You are spirit. Say, I am a spirit. And God is a spirit. That's found in John chapter 4, verse 24. And he talks to you. You are the exact duplicate of him. You came out of him. Your body is what you need to cover you while you're in this earth. Your soul is something that travels with you forever. After your body leaves you, your soul will still be with you in heaven or here. But now, this idea about revelation is something that we had to catch on to, and it's something beyond feelings. And let me just finish with this that I was just showing you here. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he just heard us. Got it? That means if I don't ask according to his will, reasonable deduction says he doesn't hear me. One man said, yes, asked God one time, God, what do you do with all these prayers? He said, what prayers? Just said he doesn't hear them. Because when he hears them, he's obligated to respond. Now, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Where can I find out the will of God? Right here. His will is right here. So if there's something that I need in my life, the first thing I want to know is it in the will? And if it's in the will, I can have it. Because his reply for the things that are in his will is yes and amen. So this is the confidence that we have in him. Now, I want to show you something, because it's very subtle. If I ask something of God that I need in my life, how do I know he heard me? Well, how do I know he heard me? This is not a trick question. How do I know that he heard me? That's according to this. Now, wait a minute. You mean I didn't know he heard me because I... feel that? Wow! You mean that didn't tell me that I heard it? Now, how do I know he heard me? Are there any feelings that I can go to? Anything in my five physical senses that I can go to that'll tell me he heard me? Nothing? Nothing. How do I know he heard me? One way. I just asked according to his will. That's the way I know. So he heard me. Now, if I know he heard me, whatever I ask, what is it saying? The church gonna get some respect in these last days. We're gonna get some respect. That was all about money. They could have done whatever they wanted to do with it, but they lied to the Holy Ghost about it. Say amen. Amen. Now, one last place, I'm done. Turn to Isaiah 61. One line I want to show you. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Well, when I said that, people got up and started leaving. I'll tell you. Okay, but that's all right. It's okay. Somebody got to preach this. Somebody got to preach this. Come on, we got to stop coming in the house of God acting any kind of way. We got to respect God's house. Come on, we got to respect God's people. Say amen to that. If we going to expect people to respect us, we need to respect God.
That's right.
I'm going to show you all of it. See, I'm not one of them punk preachers just going to preach you something.
Pray the Lord.
I'm going to show you where they drop dead. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say praise the Lord? Look what it says here now in verse 4. You with me? Are you with me? I said, are you with me? And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of what? Many generations. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying this. that you, when you get your recompense, God is expecting you to change the conditions of the place where you live and where He sends you, and not leave one city like you found it. Society should reflect the church's influence. And God has sent you to influence nations. Now, what am I about to say? That money comes in. I was in Detroit just last 3 days. I was reading Detroit Free Press. I was looking at the report that came back about the academic level of the inner city kids. Some of it down, only something like 19% could even come up to level of standard. The others, some couldn't read, couldn't write, no math, no nothing. Now something came to me. I said, no, that's our job. Now think about it now. God may have put schools in your heart. Now watch this now. With enough money, you could build a military boarding Christian school. Watch this. For boys. Watch this. Now watch it now. You're gonna have to know something how God does things. I saw a movie and it was talking about it. But you got to bring them in. You have to get them some clothes. You're going to have to get them some food. Come on now, help me. You're going to have to get them some room and board, because you're going to keep them there. You can't let them go back to that neighborhood, because they go back there, they're going to be infected. So you got to bring them in. Not only that, you're going to have to get them a tutor. Because just a normal classroom is not going to catch them up. Say amen to this. So I'm not talking about just put one up there. Let's build 18 at a time. Now watch this. The same people that have been counted out, you're going to take them, put them in this environment, and they're going to come out totally made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. That's what I'm talking about. Think about it. The education system here don't have no answers. The answers are in the church. But now we need the recompense. Because the redemption was never intended to be without divine provision. We got to have the provision. Say amen to that. So this is our time. I'm only preaching this not as a get-rich-quick scheme, not for you to go out and try to, I'm this, I'm that. No, it's not for that. It's for you getting to whatever God has placed in your heart. I'm talking about from a house to a skateboard. Whatever I ask, to healing, to whatever I ask, I know I have the petition I desired of Him. How do I know I have it? How do I know I have it? Because I ask how? According to his will. Got it? I ask according to His will. And if I ask according to His will, I know that He heard me. And if I know that He heard me, I know I have it. There is no time in God. The moment you ask, you have it. The moment you ask according to the guidelines that He set out, you have it. And you don't have to wonder whether He heard you. All you have to do is wonder whether you It's in the Word. Because if it's in the Word, he heard you. Now, part of the will of God is Mark 11:24. Put it up there on the board, please. Mark 11:24. That's part of the will of God. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, keep going, believe you receive them and you shall have them. That's the will of God. The will of God is I got to believe I received it when I prayed. I can't believe I received it after I prayed. I got to believe I received it when I prayed. And when you believe you've received something, you don't ask again. And the reason why people ask again is because they never received it the first time. Now, where do you receive it first? Where do you receive it first? In your spirit. That the blessings of God and kingdom for you are first spiritual. So now you have to receive it in your spirit. You have to take hold of it in your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I believe I've received it. Now God can deliver it to you naturally. Amen. That's where we are. Now, how much is up there in that invisible realm for you?
Glory to God.
All spiritual blessings. All spiritual. Well, Pastor, that's spiritual. That ain't got nothing to do with a car. Your car is spiritual before it's natural.
Preacher.
That. You got what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is you got to get outside of this right here. You got to get over into another dimension. And Satan does not want you or desire for you to go over there. The struggle for people is to leave this realm and go to the realm of the fourth dimension of which they've been born into. Now, he's asking you to act like him. And what he does is calls things that be not as though they were. Say amen to that. So it's called revelation knowledge. It's called knowledge that didn't come by the senses, but the knowledge that came from God, who's a spirit, right into your spirit. And if you just give God time, or your flesh can be patient, you can be patient in your mind, then it'll manifest in your body, in your circumstance. Are you following what I'm saying? And the stronger your faith gets, the quicker the manifestation. Got it? So is there any feeling involved in it? None. And God doesn't want any feeling involved because the feelings has flaws. Some people hear differently. Have you ever been in a line with a lot of people and they say, we're going to pass a secret down, and they whisper the secret in the first person's ear, and then they whisper it in the next person's ear, and then they whisper. By the time it got to the end where he started out talking about July, he's talking about December. Where he's talking about something. I'm just saying the thing has changed totally. Now do it. I don't care who it is, because there are different in the natural realm. There are different distortions. There are different things that can distort things in the natural, but you can't distort the spirit. There are no spiritual defects. You are born perfect. And it's in your body. I told you, even when Adam, before he sinned, he had the mind of God. But once he sinned, he lost his mind. He was there. You know he lost his mind because he tried to hide from God. Anybody trying to hide from God has a lost mind. That is a lost-minded person. Say amen. Somehow they think they're going to do something and God won't see it. That person is lost. Say amen to that. But once you get born again, you get the mind of Christ. Now, what you got to do is you got to override this old mind, because this old mind will try to keep you thinking that you can't think on the level that God can think on, or God wants you to think of, because you've got to do this. Somebody told you you didn't pass the IQ test, or your IQ is now, it doesn't make any difference. And making it manifest in these last days. Give the Lord a praise for it. Now, if you would take your seat for just a moment, I'd like to call all the people who need to be saved, and you know who you are. I'd like to call all those, please, and have them to come down here and let me pray for you, because you are in a place where you need your spirit to come into the family of God. You need to have the first step. That's the first step that happened to me, is I had to be born again. And if you're here and you know in your life that you need to be born again, I want to pray with you right now. And if you know that's you, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on down here and stand with me right now. Come on, this is the first step. This is the first step. This guy who was an idiot savant, his name was Juxta. What was his name? His name was Jedediah something. Praise God. He was an idiot savant, and what he would do, you give him. He said, okay, Jedediah, go to the store and get me some milk, some bread, and get me this and get me that. Four things. And you send him to the store, he'll come back and say, now, what did you tell me to get? Now, but yet they'll say, Jedediah, we're going to add up some numbers. And we're going to take a computer and we're going to put the numbers in as fast as they're given to us. And we're going to say who came up with the number answer first, you or the computer. And they put these numbers, and these numbers would be 24 digits long. Three levels of them, multiply 24 times 24 digits times 24 digits, and Jedediah give him the answer before the computer would. Wow, he was going through a different section of his brain. It's just the enemy that told you was dumb. If you're born again, you got the mind of Christ. If you're born again, you have the same mind that created the world. That's a good reason to get born again. All right, you with me? Now, so we said revelation is what we have, because without revelation, there is no restoration. And God wants to restore the years, but we got to have revelation to get there. Now, Paul gave up sense knowledge for revelation knowledge. He discovered that revelation is what he needed. So let's go to a couple of places. Go to Galatians first, Galatians chapter 1, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Let me know when you get there. All right. Galatians. And Galatians chapter 1. All right, look what it says here in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Now notice what he just said. He said, I just received a gospel that didn't come to me by a man, but I received it directly from God into my spirit. Now remember what Jesus did with Peter. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They start guessing. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elijah, one of the prophets. He said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. He didn't get it from a man. Peter got it directly from God. From God right into his spirit. You got what I'm saying? So there is knowledge that can come to you directly from God. Say amen to that. All right, go over to the verse 15, I'll get it right. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with what? Flesh and blood. Now, so God revealed all this to Paul, and as a result, Paul wrote over half or almost three quarters of the New Testament. Paul did that. And he didn't even walk with Jesus, not in the flesh. Not like Peter and James and John and all them did. He came a long time after that. He came after Jesus had left. Let me say this. But he got it by revelation.
Are you with me?
Now, before he got revelation, he was taking the Jewish believers and taking them to the council of the Jews, and they were some of them they were putting in prison and so forth, because he thought he was doing right and they were wrong. But once on the Damascus Road, he had an experience with God and got converted. He then saw that he was wrong and they were right. Now notice, without revelation, you can be deceived. Got it? You conform to this world. The devil can put enough pressure and do enough deception that'll make you go along with the world. And sometimes what we do is we blame people because they're acting a certain way. Well, if they don't have revelation, they don't have nothing else to believe. Somebody said, well, they don't need to believe nothing. You can't exist believing nothing. You're going to believe something. I don't believe in God. Well, you believe in that. You're going to believe something. So my point to you is here is Paul, and he didn't receive it by men. He got his experience, and then he hung with the Jews a little while. He went on to Arabia and stayed there a few years, and then got along with God. God began to teach him and show him and so forth, and then he came back, and he began to do all these things. Now, he came and gave revelation. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You with me? And I, brethren, when I came to you, verse 1, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save who? Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. Now, Paul was a very, very learned man, spoke several languages, very powerful man in the intellect, but he's putting it aside. He is saying, wait a minute, this intellect is not my God here. I was deceived just operating in Israel. I'm not saying you don't have to have intellect, but I'm just saying there's something else that you have to have with it. Come on now. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't get it from man. But in the demonstration of the spirit of power, spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes or rulers of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that powerful? Now, what is he saying? He is saying, okay, there's another level of knowledge and wisdom up here. And this is what God had Jesus operating in. He wasn't operating down here in man's wisdom. And as a matter of fact, if they knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified him. Because once they crucified him, they planted him. And once they planted him, he has come up and still coming up today. Say amen to that. So here is Satan. He knew he had Jesus. He knew he had him. And I'm just saying, isn't it interesting sometime when people don't have revelation, how they go after the tangible things. Jesus said, I judge no man after the flesh. You ask people sometime, and I remember this guy, all he used to say is, he said, okay, he said, well, we'll see. I said, man, we'll see all the time. And I guess he had an experience with somebody that the man was supposed to, I don't know. It was a bunch of things. But every time they thought that that was the end of it. But he said, we'll see. And the next thing that happened, something else different happened that turned that around. And then he said, we'll see. And kept saying, we'll see. My point to you is judge nothing before the time. Because things are happening that Satan has deceived and caused people to be where they are, praise God. And even, oh, I ain't going into that. But anyway, Look what it said in verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, that's your natural eye, neither the ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now those are natural parts of you. That's your body. But God has revealed them to us by his who? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of who? God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which who teacheth? The Holy Ghost teaches. He compares spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural man, the natural part of us, and the person who's not saved, receiveth not the things of the kingdom of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are people that might be in the sound of my voice today that still think tithing is foolish. They are still thinking that there is a reason why you shouldn't tithe. That, well, that passed away, that whatever it is. Now, I'm only saying they haven't been taught by the Holy Ghost. See, what they're doing is relying on their own reasoning to try to tell them what is and what is not. And you can't. In this world, everybody that's under that is in darkness. And because the enemy is the prince of that world, he's the prince of the reasoning world. And that's what people do. They go to college, get a little education. Next thing you know, they think they can reason their way out of everything. Folks, the devil will set up for a person who doesn't know God and set up for them. And I don't care if they stayed here 1,000 years. He could still outwit them. Because he was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He knows some secrets now. He knows some things. But you got the Holy Ghost. And when you got the Holy Ghost can beat the devil at any time. Now, it's only arrogance that make you think you know things. That's why you get people in Washington think they know everything and so forth and so on. And they don't even have a guidance from God and making laws that are against this or, whatever have you. So we have revelation. And without revelation, there is no what? No restoration. Say, no revelation.
No revelation.
No restoration. Every kingdom blessing is first spiritual, and it's received then by the Spirit, and then it manifests naturally. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, that's that. Now, so what did God do with me? He used me because he's showing me some things, and I was down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, going to school, and God showed me that ministry and marketplace go together, that they were never meant to be separate. And I said, wow. Now, this is before I got all my revelation about the kingdom of God. I said, wow, okay, now I'm going over here on Sunday. I'm going to church doing Sunday stuff, hallelujah, so forth. And then out here, I'm going out here and the marketplace working and so forth. He said, no, son. He said, you got to put those together. He said they were never meant to be separate, meaning that you don't go to church on just Sunday when you got the kingdom in you. Wherever you are is church. That you are the church. Are you following what I'm saying? And so now I'm seeing these two come together. So the next thing he gives me is a business school. So, okay, call it Joseph Vision School. Gave me that because he said there's a great dearth coming. And he gave me that. And so I'm putting this thing down, a business school. I said, wow. Now, what is this business school going to do? It's going to teach people how to do business based on the covenant. So whatever comes in the world, in the systems of the world, it won't take their businesses down, but their businesses will keep increasing more and more because they're going to be based on God's word and not on this world system. Are you following what I'm saying? So I got that. Start putting that up. Now we get spreading these all over the countries and nations and globally. And so next thing here is the mall and the businesses. If you see, we have church services at one part of the mall and then have businesses at another. Now, this is still this revelation coming out of me, because on paper, legally, right down the hallway, we have bifurcated this property, meaning that on this south side of this property is tax exempt. On the north side of the property is taxable. And so notice those two have come together and are working together. Now, this is me based on revelation, because people come here and see, man, how did you think of this? How did you think of this Joseph School and so forth? I didn't get it from man. I got it from God. And then we also, the bank. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, the bank. So I came up with bank, and some of the brethren in the ministry, Bill Winston, what you doing now? Man, why a bank, man, that and so forth. Now, they're slowly catching on. It's slowly catching on. See, somebody sometimes has to be the pioneer. Somebody has to be willing to take the flak until other folk catch up. Say amen to that. And so now in that, the bank, so it would be a bank, and not only a bank, but eventually a banking system. Now in that, it would be that the saints would pay their tithes and offerings, we'd pray over them, and we wouldn't send them down somewhere where somebody could use them and build a liquor store right down the street from you, or help build up one of the gambling casinos or riverboats or loan money for that. No, it would be doing things that are in line with rebuilding the kingdom of God in this earth. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that makes sense now, but when I was doing it, I didn't have all that knowledge. I didn't know all of that. I just did it by revelation. I didn't ask my flesh whether it was good or not. I didn't know what was going on. All I did is I heard God and I start building. Say amen to that. Y'all with me in here? All right. Now, let's go to the next part of this. I'm talking about that's revelation. So the only way you're going to advance the kingdom is through revelation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Other than that, the gates of hell can stand against you. So you need revelation, because revelation supplies you with the power and the anointing so that you can break through any obstacles that are coming up. So I need that. Now, vengeance and recompense are revelation. A revelation. And when you first mention it, folk get quiet. Now, what is that? All right, let me help you again. Amen. Bless your heart. Vengeance here has nothing to do with hate. God is love. Say it. Now, if that be the case, it's got nothing to do with hate or emotional retaliation or you getting back at somebody for something. That's wrong concept of vengeance, because God told you to love your enemies. Got it? But it has to do with the love of justice. You with me? And it flows out of God, because he is a God of justice. All right. Recompense means literally restitution or having to pay damages for something that has been done of equivalent value, so that it is a repayment for something that's done against someone or act that's been committed. Recompense. Vengeance and recompense. Now, I left off with this group with Hebrews chapter 10. So we're going to start right there and then go back to Isaiah 61. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now you're going to get something out of this, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. Now, this lesson is probably one of the most important that you will hear outside of being born again and being filled with the Spirit and walking by faith. This lesson. Because it is something that is needed for us to be able to finish the work that God has placed us here to do.
Amen.
Got it? Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also." Watch this. "And greater works shall you do, because I'm going to the Father." Now, I don't know how you describe greater works, greater miracles or whatever. I can't believe he's talking about that. Jesus never built an orphanage.
Come on, man.
Jesus never had a business. Jesus never built one school. He had them traveling with him. He was teaching them, but he didn't build any schools. I'm just only saying that part of the greater works is you rebuilding ruined places and turning them into the Garden of Eden. Now watch this. Are y'all with me? Over in Hebrews, it's going to be good today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." All right. Let me get some space here so I can work. This is where I left off with this particular service, right here. Let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1. If it's all right with you, I've got 5 minutes, but I need 10. Okay? Tell you that. So if you got something to do, you can go ahead and do it. This that I'm going to give you there here is will change your life forever. Let me have my water down there. I need a swig. Just a minute. All right, I'm going to read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. and they shall build. Underline that. The old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed their flock, your flocks, and your sons and of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Just hang on. I'll tell you what all of it means. Verse 7. For your shame you shall have double. I'm dropping down to verse 8. And I, the Lord, love judgment. Put in your Bible, justice. That's a direct translation. I love justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offering, And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Are you with me? I want to stop right there. All right, now that is a place that Jesus read from when he stood up in the synagogue when he was 30 years old to begin his earthly ministry. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. All right, I'm assuming you're there. Luke chapter 4. Just a minute. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He found Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. All right. Put something right there. Turn back to Isaiah 61. And let's just prove to ourselves where he stopped. Look at verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so forth and so on. So notice, he stopped at proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't read anymore. Because the other part was not a part of his ministry. Now the Holy Ghost is coming in. Now I want you to see this, because this is that rain that we're talking about. You've got the former rain for the gathering, the latter rain for the beautifying. And where the latter rain begins is where Jesus stopped. And in this, God now, glory to God, stay with me, is now taking the church into her prophetic destiny. And anything that is trying to hold you will be dealt with. The number one job, one of the first jobs of the Holy Spirit in these last days, is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people. God says something about this. He says, you are either with me or you are against me. So here, God's people have a destiny, and this is a set time of the favor of God in their lives. You with me? Now, what I showed you before, now I'm coming back to this, is Jesus, that the Bible is thematic, meaning it deals with the principles and reveals to us the flow of the mind of God, right through it. So now, if I want to look at that, let me go back again, because what God told Abram, he said, now your descendants or your seed are going to go into captivity 400 years. But then they're coming out. And they're not coming out empty. Turn back to Exodus, please, in chapter 3. Now, if you're in a hurry, you can just go ahead, because I'm going to get this out. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to fight every fear that's trying to come to me to rush, because you need to hear this. Now, the enemy has tried to keep this covered up, but it's being revealed. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I'll stretch out my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with my wonders, which I will do unto the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor. Say favor. This is it now. In the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. Say, I will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and you shall what the Egyptians? All Egyptians. So all you who are working as domestic workers, housemaids, I want you to go there tomorrow, and I want you to borrow. I want you to tell them you want all the gold they got, all the silver that they got, and all them St. John suits that they got. Okay? Now, I want to put this down. Your redemption is not complete without divine provision. I ask you to write that down. Your redemption or redemption is not complete without divine provision. You with me? So, what happened? God had to get Moses on the right foot here now. And I want you to see this, because this I'm about to tell you now is extremely significant. Understanding vengeance and recompense creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. I'll say it again. Understanding vengeance creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Watch this. Verse 22 and of chapter 4. Verse 22 of chapter 4. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn. Understand, God is love. But God loves justice. It is a set time for these people to come out, and they have been held as slaves, which is a part of an unjust system. And now God is saying, you're coming out. It is time for your release, and you're coming out. Now, Moses, tell Pharaoh this. Now, once he did that with Moses, turn over to Exodus chapter 7, please. And in Exodus chapter 7, this is very interesting. He said this, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made you a who? God to Pharaoh. Now, verse 2, speak all that I tell you to speak. And something happens to you when you know that the Holy Ghost, that anyone, glory to God, where'd I put my paper? The Holy Ghost is going to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God. Understand now, this creation of an image inside of you, that nothing will escape the Holy Ghost, that when the enemy comes against you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against them. Watch this, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you, he will cut it down. When you find out you are the apple of God's eye, and he says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm, I'm here to tell you that anyone, you cannot be molested, you cannot be assaulted, you cannot be harassed, you cannot be tormented. God will judge anyone that touches his anointing. By you knowing this vengeance and recompense, it will change your attitude when you walk into a place to get some property, or when you come up in a business deal, or when you know nobody can touch you, you will go anywhere, anytime, because if you are divinely positioned by God, the angels of the Lord set up a shield. Different thing. And because vengeance hasn't been preached, we have been victims, because we didn't know where we stood. We didn't know that the Holy Ghost is there to make sure that nobody touches us, and anything coming against us, he'll raise up a shield against us. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. Nobody goes up against Pharaoh. Nobody. Nobody. I don't care who it is. Moses ran from Pharaoh when he killed that Egyptian that time, because he was beating a Hebrew, and Moses trying to do it in his own strength. He cut out. He ran. It was on the backside of that mountain for 40 years. But God went and got him. He said, all right, I want you to say something. He said, I can't talk. I can't. He said, wait a minute. You go down there and tell Pharaoh what I said. So what he had to do with Moses, he had to show Moses his power, because Satan respects power. And when you go in there, you are going in there as a kingdom representative. Man, dude, you got to see what I'm talking about, man. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how little education you got, how much education, whether you white, black, yellow, it don't make no difference. If you represent God, it changes your attitude. You don't need to go in there anymore holding your hat in your hand and say, oh yes, I'd like to buy some property. You go in there, give me that, and give me that. It's mine anyway. Give me that, and don't charge me nothing. You owe me something for giving it to me, because it's already mine. Your whole thinking changes. And when your thinking changes, you go in there with a kingdom mindset. And when you do, Satan bows immediately, because he knows the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is inside of you. Can't you see how it affects you? Now let me show you some more. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest messages God ever gave me. But I didn't know it till I start drilling down in there. You know some oil down in there somewhere. But sometimes you got to get around about 50 feet, go down about 60, 65 feet. And all of a sudden, here comes a gusher. Say, hey, that's what it is. Folks, there's something happening here. Can I show you a scripture? Look at Isaiah chapter 60. I'm done here. I'm done. I got to get you out of here. I'm telling you, you're going to get your stuff back. You cannot any longer be harassed. You can no longer, come on now, that whatever has been afflicting you, whatever has been humiliating you, whatever has been trying to steal your peace and your progress, whatever has been against your career, whatever's against your business, whatever's been against your children, God is going to command vengeance today. Whatever they're doing, it will be stopped today. I said, I put a halt to it today. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every struggle in your life stops today. Everything sitting on your destiny must be released today. Everything holding you must let you go today. Your season of frustration is now over. You're going to walk in success and victory and prosperity the rest of your life. Anything that's making you uncomfortable will be removed. All you got to do is believe this. Come on, let's go to Isaiah 60. Let me show you this. Some of y'all will get a kick out of this. I said, some of y'all will. Verse 14. Let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get there. The sons also of them that afflict you shall come on bended knee to thee. And all they that despise you, didn't think much about you, are going to bow themselves down at the soles of your feet. Now you can say what you will, but something is about to happen. The last about to become first. All right, come on over here to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I told you I got something for you. Your days of struggling are over, honey. Say amen to that. He said, when you go, you won't go empty. That's some recompense owed you. I said, that's some recompense owed you. Yes, indeed. I looked it up. In 1866, President Andrew Jackson vetoed 40 acres and a mule. They were going to release the slaves and give them 40 acres and a mule. Now, understand, they released them, but they didn't give them any money. They released them, but they didn't give them any house. They released them, but they didn't give them any credit. They released them, but they didn't even give them no place to stay. They released them, but they couldn't read. They released them, but I got good news for you. I'm telling you right now that everything... Now, this just not for black folk, this for any folk that are in the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. If you're in the kingdom, I can guarantee you the thief has stolen from you. But notice, you can't bring people to court. This is what he did to me. This is what she did to me. You can't do that, because in the kingdom, you're going before God. And if you're going before the court of heaven, you can't bring a person there. You got to bring the one who did it. Remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God came down and said, Adam, what have you done? And Adam pointed to her. He said, the woman you gave me, he did this. God marched over here, said, Eve, what have you done? She said, it was the devil. He said, now I'm going to inflict justice. I'm telling you, you've got to bring the devil to court. He's the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, whoever's holding your stuff, better let it go. Because he either going to be tormented or terminated. God is now going to get that stuff, because it's coming back to its rightful owner. And God has kept records of everything that's been stolen from you. Boy, I'm preaching hard, ain't I? Okay. Matthew chapter 2. Lord have mercy. Say it's going to rain. Lord have mercy. What happened? He said this. It's the wise men. Now they came to Jesus' house, because that's where the young child was. They had to pass by King Herod first. And King Herod said, listen, when y'all find him, come back and tell me where he is. Herod really didn't want to know where he was. Wanted to know for one reason, because he was going to do something. Look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in his dream. He said, arise now and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And be there, thou there, until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to do what to him? He didn't want him to fulfill his destiny. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed to Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he is exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children which were in Bethlehem. Now, who do you think he was motivated by? The devil. And